Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, and about half the church just went, uh-oh, he's in the Old Testament. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to jump around just a little bit. But before we start, I wanted to make sure we set the stage. So we're in the toward the very end of God delivering the children of Israel from Pharaoh. He's tried all kinds of stuff. He's down to the last thing. They've seen all kinds of things, and Pharaoh keeps saying, no, 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 I'm not going to let them go. And so we pick up in chapter 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out at the sheep and from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Have you noticed twice now he said the whole assembly, the whole congregation, not just a few. In other words, you can't make a sacrifice for your neighbor. We've got to do it ourselves. We've got to come ourselves.
Amen. Yes, amen.
And they shall take the blood and strike it on two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And then we'll skip over to verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord.
Amen.
And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you,
amen,
and the
amen.
Plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, again, all of them, and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it on the lintel and on the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. I want you to pay attention real quick to that last sentence. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. We're going to get back to that in a few minutes, but pay close attention to that. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Amen. So we've heard that a lot. If you grew up in church, you studied it in Sunday school. If you've been in church very much, you've heard it preached before. But God really drew me to that. And will you pull verse 22 back up real quick, where it said, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. A lot of times we skip over that part. That's important. That's critical.
Man.
Because what God was telling him was stay inside. Stay under the blood.
Man.
Don't come out. See, they had a choice. They could have opened the door and walked outside at any time. They could have decided they needed to go over to their neighbor's house. They could have decided they needed to go down to the market. They could have decided they were just bored and wanted to go outside and have a cigarette. They could have decided all different things that could have drawn them out from under the blood. They could have decided all different things, but instead, they stayed put because God said to stay put.
Man, yeah.
He said, stay inside the house.
Amen.
And that's where they stayed. Because you know something? It did not matter who they were. That angel was coming through. The death angel was going to kill every firstborn. Period. End of story. There was no qualification. It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter how they believed. It didn't matter if they were Hebrew, if they were Egyptian. The firstborn was going away. Period. The only thing that stood between them and the death of the firstborn was the blood.
Blood.
That's it. Period. It didn't matter how good they were. It didn't matter how good a life they'd lived. It didn't matter how much they prayed, how much they'd given, how much they'd done, anything. It was only the blood that was going to keep them safe. It was only the blood that was going to stop the death angel.
Yeah.
Period. End of story.
Come Come on, that's good.
See, the blood stopped the sentence of death. The blood stood between the destroyer and God's people, and had they been outside, they would have perished. And it would have been a sad thing because they had the blood on their doorposts. How many times do we step out from under the blood?
Amen.
How many times when we have the blood, we've taken that hyssop and we've applied it to our heart? Because hyssop represents our faith. That's how we apply the blood to our heart, is through faith. So when they took that hyssop and they smeared it on the door and on the doorposts, it was a type and shadow of Jesus' blood that covers our heart and our body and our soul. And so many times we've done that, we've applied it, but then we step out from under it. And we're in trouble when we do that, saints.
Man, yeah.
We're in deep trouble when we do that, because that protection doesn't last if you're standing outside of it. You have to be under the blood to have the protection. See, without the blood, we have nothing. We have no salvation. We have no grace. We have no mercy. We have no justification, no deliverance, no sanctification, no power, no anointing, no peace, no authority, no hope. The Holy Spirit isn't there because the blood has to be there first.
Amen.
Without
Amen.
The blood, we don't have anything.
Amen.
That blood is so precious and so important. And God just kept dealing with me about this because he said, you know, you have to abide behind the bloodline. See, there's a line that's drawn. When we give our life to God, when Jesus comes in and we apply his blood to our life, there's a bloodline that's drawn that the devil
Amen.
Cannot cross.
Amen.
He cannot cross.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times you see people build a fence and somebody can go over the fence. The devil can't get over the bloodline.
That's right. Amen.
He can't. He can run up to it and he'll bounce right off of it because Yeah. he can't do it. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world.
Yes,
the devil has
Amen.
No power to touch us if we're under the blood.
That's right.
When
Amen.
We're not under the blood, it's kind of like in the cartoons, if you've ever seen it, you know, they'll go along and there's the one, like, I think it was Sylvester or one of the characters was going along and there was a dog on the other side of the fence and he's just taunting the dog and he's carrying on, and then he gets to a point where the fence runs out and there's no fence in between him anymore. We do the same thing sometimes with the devil. We go along, we're taunting him, yeah, devil, God's got me taken care of. And then we step out from under the blood and the devil goes, oh, hey,
yeah.
I see you're out from under the blood. Because
yeah.
see, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when we step out from under the blood, we suddenly become whom he may devour.
Amen.
I don't want to be whom he may devour. Amen? That's why we belong under the blood. And Jesus talked about this in John chapter 15. He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He said abide twice there. Abide. In other words, it's not transient. It's not a little while here and a little while there. When you abide, you come to stay. It's permanent. See, when Jesus comes into our heart, he comes to stay. He abides there. He lives there. He's not
Amen.
There temporarily. He's not
Amen.
Visiting. He's there to hang out and stay forever.
Yes,
but we have
Amen.
To abide with him. Because, see, we can leave the house. He's not ever going to leave, but we can step out from under it. We can leave him standing there going, where'd you go? That's why we have to stay under the blood, just like the Hebrew children had to stay under the blood. In verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He keeps using that word abide over and over and over again. So I thought, well, that might be important. Maybe I ought to go look that up and see what that means for sure. So I went and looked, and it means to dwell, to stay, to endure, to be present, to stand firm in place, and to stay permanently. Have you noticed a theme in there, though? He keeps saying abide, 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 abide. And that lamb's blood in Exodus was a type and shadow of Christ's blood. It was showing us in very real terms how this works, that if we stay under the blood, if we stay in the house, that we're safe, we're protected, we have God's favor, we have his protection. You know, healing exists on the right side of the bloodline.
Man.
Blessing exists on the right side of the bloodline.
Man, yes.
Financial blessing exists on the right side of the bloodline. Peace, joy, all of that stuff exists on the right side of the bloodline. You know, it's just like you can go to the bank, and you can stand outside and you can knock on the walls and you can do everything you want. You're not going to get any money standing outside the bank. You have to go inside to get the money.
That's right.
You have to go inside the bloodline in order to get what God has for
Amen.
Us. You have to go
Amen.
Inside the bloodline in order to be able to stay protected
yes.
and to
Amen.
Make sure that you have what God has for you. You have to stay inside. And I want you to take a look at this in some very real terms and see this in action. We're going to look at the 91st Psalm. But I want you to read it and listen to it in terms of what we're talking about, in terms of abiding and staying under the blood. Because it takes on just a little bit different meaning when you think about it in that way. In fact, it starts off in the very first verse, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Yeah, yeah. You got to come to dwell. You got to come to live. That's you got to abide. Amen. You got to stay. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler."
Man,
again, though, you got to stay under the wings. Because we can leave. We can walk out from under those wings at any time. We're never held. We're never forced to stay anywhere with God. We have ultimate decision. We can turn our back and walk away. We can decide to step out from under what God's given us. But when we stay, this tells us what we get. This tells us what happens when we stay, when we come to abide. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee."
Amen.
Do you understand what that's saying? That means that things are going to go wrong all around us. We're going to see the things we see in the world, Pastor.
Yes.
They're going to go get the chip in their hand.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch what happens to them. But it's not going to touch us if we stay under the blood.
Amen.
The key, though, is we have to stay under the blood. Because he started in verse 1. He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If we're not dwelling and abiding, this doesn't apply. This only applies when we dwell and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So let's see here. Verse 8, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." Here we are again. Because you've made Him your habitation, because you're staying, "there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under your feet."
Amen. Yes.
Trample them under your feet. He didn't say you'd just barely get by them. He didn't say you'd kind of win. He didn't say you'd scrape through. He said you'd trample them under your feet.
Amen. Amen.
When are we going to get under the blood and start trampling the devil under our feet?
Amen.
When are we going to stop letting him kick us around and we start kicking him around?
Yes.
You know something, saints of God? We have a birthright and entitlement to this if we're living under the blood. And yet we sit back and we say, well, the devil. No more. No more. You know what? We're going to be a church. Yes, Lord. We're going to be a church that doesn't take this anymore.
Amen.
We're going to be a church that when the devil comes, we come back and we stomp
Amen.
On his head.
Amen.
We come back and we step on him. We trample on him. We don't take it anymore. Because God didn't put us in this world to do that. God put us in this world to be an example. And if we're running around getting our tail kicked by the devil, what kind of example are we?
Yes, amen.
Forgive me, I don't mean to be hard, but I'm giving you what God says. Let's read that again. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name."
Amen.
"He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him."
Hallelujah.
Do you know that is a promise from Almighty God? And we heard this morning from Brother Dennis that God does not change.
Man.
He's not a man that he should lie. This doesn't change. This promise is good. It's one of those canceled checks we talked about a few months ago. Remember the canceled checks? We have a canceled check. It's been cashed through the bank. It's good. It's solid. It's permanent. And we can count on it. It says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." He didn't say he'd tell us about his salvation. He said he'd show it to us. He'd demonstrate it. That means it's a real life thing that we can touch and we can deal with. We can feel the salvation of God in our lives.
Man, yes.
Only if we're under the blood.
Amen.
Only if we're under the blood. See, that's the thing. Sometimes we slip out from under the blood and then we wonder what went wrong. We wonder why we're not getting what we used to get from God. Why don't I feel the way I used to feel, Pastor?
Come on.
Why don't I have that same relationship with God? Where did God go?
He didn't go anywhere,
saints. Yeah. He's right there. Because, see, He abides. He said, I'll abide. But we have to abide with Him. We have to be in the house with Him. Because, see, that door has one key. And we have the key to it. Yeah. We can lock it and unlock it. We can open it and close it anytime we want. Because we have the power to make the decision of where we're going to abide.
Amen.
And you know what? It's been a little bit of a hard message, but let me tell you the good part. If you've not been abiding under the blood, all you have to do is step back in.
Amen.
All you have to do is go back inside.
Amen.
It's never too late. It's never too late to come back before Almighty God and say, Father, forgive me for stepping out from under the blood.
Amen.
Father, forgive me for walking away from what You had for me. Father, forgive me for missing out. I want it back, Lord. I want it back right now. And you know what? It's just like that. It comes back.
Yes.
When we come to Him with a repentant heart, like Dennis talked to us about this morning, when we come to Him and we say, Father, I'm tired of living out from under the blood. I don't like it out here. It's cold and it's uncomfortable and things don't go well out from under the blood. He says, no problem, son. Come on back inside. Come on back inside. Warm yourself by the fire. Come on in. He brings us to that restaurant you told us about this morning, Dennis, and fills up our plate.
Amen.
Clear full. Clear full. Because you see that? All these notes aren't... We don't even need those anymore. I'm so far off note, it's not even funny. I don't even know why I make notes anymore, Brother Leonard. But you know what? When we get out from under the blood... We start to looking around and we see, because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hard to be a Christian and walk that straight and narrow path. Sometimes the world looks real good. And there's things that we want to go do. We just want to poke our head out for a minute and try it out. See what it's like out there. Because, you know, we've been in here for a while now and it's been all right. We love it. But, man, that looks kind of shiny out there. What if I just open the door for a minute and poke my head outside?
Yeah.
What if one of those Hebrew children had done that?
Yeah, come on.
What if they'd have decided, well... I want to kind of come out here for just a little minute. And that was when the death angel came.
Yeah.
What if we're standing outside the bloodline when Jesus comes?
Oh, my God.
When Jesus parts those clouds and steps down,
Lord,
and the trump sounds,
God.
What if we're outside the bloodline at that moment? What if we're not listening and we don't hear when He calls? I tell you what, Pastor, you're spot on. That time is coming.
Man.
And it's so urgent and it's so important that we get back to staying under the bloodline so that we're always there, we're always safe, we're always ready for Him. Because, you know, when we don't control our confession, when we start entertaining evil thoughts, when we give in to sickness, when we wallow in depression, when we get angry and envious and all those other things, those are the things that pull us out from under the blood. Those are the things that have us not where we're supposed to be. Because, see, when we're under the blood, those things don't work. Because those things can't exist where Jesus is. Sin can't exist where Jesus is.
Amen.
Pain and sickness can't exist where Jesus is.
Amen, that's right.
So when we start dealing with that stuff, we have to go somewhere else because we can't deal with it if we're abiding behind the bloodline.
Yes.
We can't be sick and tired and worn out and all of that stuff. Yes, we get tired, but when we give into it and that's what we make important to us instead of God, that's when we start to put ourselves outside the bloodline. Because, see, when we're behind the bloodline, all we have to do is remind our body, hey, you're under the blood. You don't have a choice, body. You have to line up with the Word of God. Long as you don't have a choice, you're going to fill up with air because you are subject to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, I speak to these lungs right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I command them to come under the bloodline right now, to come under the authority of the name of Jesus and to function normally, to fill with air and serve this body the way You created them to, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we have the right to do that when we're under the blood because Jesus said so. He said, greater things than this will you do if you believe in Me. He wasn't kidding when He said that. He wasn't joking. He wasn't teasing us. He wasn't giving us a... It's not like a commercial on TV where they tell you one thing and it's something else when you go to the store. His advertising is always spot on.
Amen.
He never lies. He never tells us anything we can't believe in and trust in. And you know the other thing I will tell you when you start looking at whether or not you're behind the bloodline? Pull up that next scripture for me, love, the one in Ephesians. Neither give place to the devil.
Amen.
That's where we get ourselves in trouble. Well,
Amen.
It's just one bad movie. Well, it's just one drink. Well, it's just one of this. It's just one friend I have that, you know, I still get to have in kind of those rough conversations with that aren't probably pleasing to God. It's just one little thing. One becomes two becomes four becomes 40, and next thing you know, you're all the way out from under the blood. That's why Jesus, or God said, never give place to the devil. Because he knew that one little break in the line, if we get rid of just one little piece of that line, it gives the devil a way in. And he doesn't belong in. He belongs out. He belongs on the outside, not on the inside. And the only one who can let him on the inside is us. You see, the key to victory in all of this, we see in Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again.
Amen.
With the yoke of bondage. If you've got sin in your life that you put under the blood, leave it there. Quit dragging it back out.
Amen.
If you've got depression, if you've got hurt feelings, if you've got anger, anxiety, fear, whatever it is you put under the blood, leave it there. Yeah. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It's not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to keep carrying it around. Because he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And don't get entangled in that mess anymore. Leave it alone.
Man.
Put it under the blood and leave it under the blood. Because you know what? When we put it under the blood, God forgot about it. He cast it into a sea of forgetfulness. He put it as far away as the east is from the west. But then we go get up and go, hey God, have you seen this sin recently? What on earth are we thinking? Leave it under the blood.
Amen.
Leave it there. You know, there's a reason I don't talk about my life before Jesus. Because A, it doesn't matter because I was born the day Jesus found me.
Amen.
And B, I'm not going to glorify that sinful life that existed then.
Amen.
I'm not going to give the devil glory. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to let him back in. Because that sin is under the blood. That old man is under the blood. And it's staying there.
Amen.
Because see, Jesus, God can't see through the blood. All he sees is the blood. See, I'm not righteous on my own. I wish I were. But my righteousness is worth nothing. But God's righteousness, Christ Jesus, is worth everything.
Amen.
And that's the righteousness God sees when he looks at us saints. He sees Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
I heard a song the other day. It said, it's okay to live like you're loved. It's okay to act like you've been set free. That God has made you more than enough. And that we need to stand up and be who he made us to be. And he made us to stand on the right side of the bloodline where we're protected.
Amen.
Where we have his divine protection. Galatians 5 and 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, we must abide. We must stay under the blood. I know I keep saying that, but that's what God just kept telling me over and over again as I was putting this together. See, the blood of Jesus is the only way to salvation.
Yes,
you can't be good enough
Amen.
To get saved without it. Nobody can be.
Amen.
Nobody. See, he was that spotless lamb. He was the final sacrifice. He was the final lamb that need to be given.
Oh God.
He was it. We had a type and shadow in the Old Testament. Now we have the sacrifice.
Yes.
There's no more every year going and killing a lamb and putting blood and doing all that stuff because the perfect blood
Amen.
Has been given for us. We're bought with a price. And if you don't know my Jesus or you haven't talked to him in a while, I'd love to introduce you to him. Because I'm going to tell you what, he can make your life whole again. He can make it different. He can put you under that bloodline where you are protected, safe, and secure. The blood is the only way to God. It's the only real protection we have, and it's the only power and authority we have. See, when we pray in Jesus' name, because that's the authority that moves things.
Amen.
The devil's not scared of Jim Black. He's not scared of Robert Clark.
Yes.
He might be a little afraid of Val. But he's not afraid of any of us. But I tell you what, he's afraid of the Jesus on the inside of us.
Yes.
He's afraid of the name of Jesus. The Bible says at that very name that he'll tremble.
Amen.
Do you know what happens when Souls Harbor Church starts praying in the name of Jesus? There's an earthquake in hell.
Amen.
Things start shaking up down there. And the devil pays attention. He says, whoa, hold on just a minute. What was that? But we don't do it very often. And we don't do it like we need to.
Amen.
We've got to start taking hold of that because we're on the right side of the bloodline. We have the authority of Jesus' name. We have the power in Jesus' name, not ours, but his,
Amen.
To be able to stand against whatever the devil's bringing against this church, to be able to stand against whatever it is that the devil tries to do. But we must abide under the bloodline. We can't go out and look around. We might find ourselves all alone in the fight, and I don't want to fight him alone.
Amen.
I prefer to fight him with my daddy.
Yes.
Because my daddy knows how to fight way better than I do, and he's big and strong, and he can handle it for me. And I'm going to close with this scripture in Jude. Verse 20 and 21 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We must always be looking and staying under the bloodline.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message, and in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.